KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 9:02, it's cloudy, a little bit of drizzle or light rain, and 52 degrees in Atlantic. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The Cass County Sheriff's Office said today an Atlantic man was arrested Friday. 30-year-old Dylan Ron Drake was taken into custody on a district court warrant for a probation violation. A judge determined in August that Drake was guilty of indecent exposure. The charge stemmed from an incident which occurred in mid-February. He was also ordered to have his name placed on the state's sex offender registry. Drake was being held in the Cass County Jail on $10,000 bond. Iowa Congressman Tom Latham has been named to a congressional working group that will give citizens in seven states a voice in managing the Missouri River. Latham said that the management of the river by the government has superseded the needs and lives of the communities and states along the river. He says citizens deserve a voice in the process as the government looks toward a new management plan, and the congressional working group will be a resource for citizens to be heard. He says that he'll bring the thoughts and concerns of Iowa residents to the discussion to ensure that any new plan is focused on flood prevention in Iowa communities. The Iowa Department of Transportation said Tuesday that it will be undertaking a project to rebuild Interstate 680 in Pottawatomie County, which was decimated by the Missouri River flooding. The roadway has been closed since early June. The DOT will be using non-traditional design, contracting, and construction approaches to get the roadway rebuilt quickly and traffic flowing once again. Getting the roadway reopened will also restore access to the Omaha Airport from the north. A single contract will be awarded for the project that involves a complete rebuild. An emergency letting is tentatively scheduled for September 21st. A meeting will be held later this week with contractors to discuss constructability of the project. The DOT will provide bidders with a typical cross-section, as-built plans and standards for design, construction, and materials. A single lump sum bid item to perform all the necessary work is anticipated, and the contract award will be based on the low bid. All information necessary to bid on the project will be made available to contractors on the DOT's website at www.iowadot.gov/contracts/lettings.html. A special section on the site is devoted specifically to the I-680 project. Bidders with questions should address them to the Iowa DOT's Office of Contracts at 515-239-1414. In 2009, Iowa received millions of dollars through the federal stimulus program to repair miles of state roads, many of which are now at least 50 years old. Dan Franklin with the Iowa Department of Transportation says that kind of spending is needed again now because more than half the state's roads are no longer considered to be in good condition.
We were able to pave and improve many miles of highway and do a lot of improvements in the transit and air system as well. However, while it did alleviate some of the backlog, we still have considerable backlog of needs for improving the systems.
It would take over $500 million annually for the next 20 years to get the current backlog of poor condition Iowa roads back in good repair and to maintain the system. Franklin said the president's infrastructure proposal would help.
We're looking at the jobs bill. It looks like it's very similar to the funding and the programs that we were able to take advantage of 2 years ago with the Recovery Act.
According to the American Association of State Highway and Transportation Officials, every dollar spent to keep a road in good condition avoids up to $14 needed later to rebuild the same road. Franklin said money would likely go to projects already planned for this year, plus for road repairs that have been on hold because there isn't funding available. The bill's opponents say it would add more to the nation's budget deficit. Governor Terry Branstad's administration is looking at a plan to shift the Iowa Department of Transportation's motor vehicle enforcement duties to the Department of Public Safety to improve road safety in a more efficient and cost-effective manner. Officials are exploring the idea of moving up to 106 DOT officers to public safety. The DOT officers enforce weight requirements, equipment safety, and other laws. Public safety includes the Iowa State Patrol. Branstad spokesman Tim Albrecht said Public Safety Commissioner Larry Noble and DOT Director Paul Trombino III have talked about the idea. Albrecht says Branstad is aware of the discussions but hasn't approved any specific plans to move forward on any changes, which would require the legislature's consent and approval. U.S. Senator Chuck Grassley has asked the federal government to declare 27 additional Iowa counties across the state as agriculture disaster areas following several summer storms. The Iowa Republican sent a letter Tuesday to the U.S. Department of Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack seeking the designation. Grassley says that farmers across the state have faced about every kind of challenge that summer weather can bring. If granted, farmers in the counties and in the counties adjacent to them would be eligible for FSA emergency loans, the Livestock Indemnity Program, and the Supplemental Revenue Assistance Payments Program. Elsewhere in the news, officials of the Atlantic Police Department said yesterday that 33-year-old Amanda Brenice of Lewis was arrested Monday. Brenice was taken into custody on 5 warrants out of Shelby County for fifth-degree theft. The woman was being held in the Cass County Jail. Police in Council Bluffs say they're mystified by the appearance of a hot dog man statue, but would relish any information about where it came from. A concerned citizen called police last week to report that a man in a hot dog costume near a bus stop where children congregate. When officers arrived, they found the man was actually a 6-foot-tall statue with spindly legs and a pair of high-top sneakers. Its hands are missing, and a U.S. flag is draped across its back. The statue has been spotted elsewhere in the city, but Police Captain Terry LeMaster says no one knows anything about it or where it came from. It's being stored at the police department until someone steps forward to claim it. Republican Congressman Steve King says one of President Obama's relatives has gotten preferential treatment from law enforcement, and King wants a congressional investigation.
President Obama's uncle, Uncle Omar, has been picked up for drunken driving with almost twice the blood alcohol level that is allowable by law in Massachusetts. It'll be the third time that he's been interdicted with regard to being an illegal immigrant. He's twice before been adjudicated for deportation. This time, Immigration Customs Enforcement just released him after they had him in custody as if he's not going to be a danger to our society.
Obama's uncle is in the U.S. illegally, and the White House press secretary said in early September that the president expects the case to be handled like any other immigration case. King wants to pressure Omar to speak publicly about his case.
I want to subpoena drunken Uncle Omar to come into the House Judiciary Committee along with his attorney, who's the same attorney that President Obama's aunt Zatuni had that got her asylum.
Obama's aunt came to the U.S. in 2000 on a valid visa and applied for asylum in 2002. In 2010, an immigration judge in Boston granted it. She could become a citizen in 2014. King wants a congressional investigation to see if Obama's aunt and uncle are getting favorite treatment at the direction of the White House.
We must enforce our immigration laws, and we must enforce those immigration laws equally across all society. Justice has got to be blind. It can't play favorites. And I want to have hearings in the House Judiciary Committee over drunken Uncle Omar.
King made his comments in a video statement released by his office, and King used the phrase drunken Uncle Omar 3 times in just 80 seconds. The chairwoman of the Iowa Democratic Party says King seems more focused on persecuting distant relatives of the president than on creating jobs. Iowa Democratic Party Chair Sue Dvorsky says that King is engaged in political theater and wild speculation. Taking a look at national news at this hour, stocks have opened higher on Wall Street ahead of a meeting of the Greece debt troubles. Leaders of France, Germany, and Greece were scheduled to meet later today to discuss ways to contain the debt crisis that has roiled financial markets for months. Right now, though, the Dow is up after that higher opening. Or rather, the Dow is down, I should say. The Dow is down nearly 6 points. S&P 500 is up about a point, and the NASDAQ is up nearly 12 points. A man accused of trying to blow up a Detroit-bound airliner is showing signs of defiance ahead of a key hearing on evidence in the case. Omar Farouk Abdul-Tulab loudly complained about wearing prison clothing after he was escorted into a Detroit federal courtroom today. Meanwhile, 7 floors below, a judge greeted prospective jurors who were summoned to the court to fill out a questionnaire. Abdul-Tulab is charged with trying to blow up an Amsterdam to Detroit flight in Christmas of 2009. His jury selection begins October 4th. Another North Carolina man charged in international terrorism plot has a new plea hearing. Dylan Boyd is scheduled to be in federal court in Raleigh, North Carolina today, nearly a month after pleading not guilty, along with 4 others, to felony charges from an alleged conspiracy to attack a U.S. Marine Corps base in Virginia and targets overseas. All of the defendants face life in prison if convicted of the most serious charges at a trial which is scheduled to begin on Monday. And a North Carolina school system that had been involved in a dispute with a student over her nose piercing has now changed its dress code to allow such jewelry. The Johnston County School Board voted unanimously Tuesday to allow students to have nose rings and facial jewelry as long as their school principal doesn't see it as a disruption. Taking a look at our funeral announcements this morning, 68-year-old Betty Newman of Atlantic died Saturday. Funeral services for Betty Newman will be today at 10:30 at Zion Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has the arrangements. 70-year-old Janice Smith of Coon Rapids died Saturday in Carroll. Funeral services for Janice Smith will be held today at 10:30 at the First Christian Church in Coon Rapids. Odie Funeral Home in Coon Rapids has the arrangements. 75-year-old Darlene Janet Knoll of Griswold died Saturday. A memorial service for Janet Knoll will be held tonight at 6 o'clock at the Dune Funeral Home in Griswold. 81-year-old Charlene Dorsher of Atlantic and formerly of the Lewis and Oakland areas died Thursday. Funeral services for Charlene Dorsher will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at the Reconvieth Funeral Home in Oakland. 90-year-old Ethel Rowetter, who is formerly of Westside, died September 7th in California. Funeral services for Ethel Rowetter will be held tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the Odie Funeral Home in Manning. 85-year-old Joyce Riggs of Atlantic died Tuesday. Funeral services for Joyce Riggs will be on Friday at 10:30 at the First Baptist Church in Cumberland. Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic has arrangements. 83-year-old Lenora Wollenhouse, a longtime Atlantic resident, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Lenora Wollenhouse will be Friday at 1:30 at the First United Methodist Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic has the arrangements. 97-year-old Virginia Spiker of Atlantic died Monday. A memorial service for Virginia Spiker will be this Saturday at 11 a.m. at the Heritage House in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home has the arrangements. And 87-year-old Margaret Jensen of Atlantic died Monday. Private family graveside services for Margaret Jensen will take place in the Atlantic Cemetery. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Atlantic has the arrangements. And that is a check of the news here on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.